Hello and welcome to We're Watching What? I'm your host Dana, or the DHK as I've known, and we watched four things this week. We started off with Dune Part 2, a major, huge, massive spoiler alert for that. Also, spoiler alert for the books, including all of the Frank Herbert books. We go pretty deep into the discussion. Then we watched the first two episodes of the latest adaptation of Shogun on FX, a major spoiler alert for that as well. We then watched This Is Me Now, A Love Story, which is a Jennifer Lopez produced, written, directed, not directed, but produced, written, starring, visual and musical extravaganza. I don't think you can spoil that one because it doesn't really have a plot. And then finally, we watched the first episode of the new series Regime on HBO Max. A mild spoiler alert for that one as well. And now without further ado, here's We're Watching What? So I wanted to start this episode with an audio cue, but we cannot afford any of the audio I wanted. But I just need you both to know that the Gom Jabbar vocal thing is stuck in my head, but then it keeps changing into the Survivor theme song. So I've just been like yodel screaming in my head for several days. And I thought I would share that with the two of you so it can get stuck in your heads. We saw Dune 2. How are you both feeling?
Well, currently very thankful that I do not know the Survivor theme off the top of my head.
Yeah, but man, so, Jackie does.
So I'm very grateful for that.
Yes.
But noble effort. Fair. On your part.
Thank you.
But yeah, I'm feeling pretty great. I thought it was fantastic.
Did you see it on IMAX? Did either of you see it on IMAX? Did you go at 3 a.m.?
Did Prime.
Okay.
IMAX so is in my Prime. Future,
yeah. Oh, you Prime saw it together. Prime. Okay.
Yeah. You know, we all talked about the first one together, you know, and it's like, I think we all have a pretty large respect for Danny Villeneuve here.
Danny,
I don't know. Yeah, I love him. I think he's a savant in this time of filmmaking. I think he's just fantastic. And so I thought it was a really successful way to have a part two, being that it's all one book. Mm-hmm. I thought it felt super cohesive. I felt that, like, I was so relieved at the beginning that we didn't get some, like, recap. Mm-hmm. I thought, throw us right in, remove the credits from the first one and just put them together and let me sit there for 6 hours and I will. Like, that's how I felt about it, you know? And I thought that cohesion is kind of hard to do sometimes, but it's, you know, it's less of a sequel and more just like the continuation of the story that kind of felt incomplete in the first one.
Right. Jackie?
Yeah, no, I had a great time. Obviously, it's a good movie, right? I think I liked part one a little bit more. Like, I felt like I was like a little bit more jazzed after that one. There was just some, I don't know the story like you guys know the story, so maybe that's part of it too, but like, I just felt like the romance was a little weird to me, and I thought Zendaya was just like a little wooden. Like, I usually love her, but I just felt like she was so, and maybe it was to, Matt made this point after the movie, and so maybe this is part of it too, was that they made the character choice to just make her very angry, right? Mm-hmm. And so maybe it just felt very one note to me because I don't know the story as well as you guys do, right? And what was really happening there. But I kind of felt like the romance and like that whole part of it was disappointing.
That is fair. It's interesting. I liked part two better than I liked part one. And I think some of that is due to, I don't get me wrong, I love Dune so much, but there are so many characters and like so much stuff that you have to introduce in part one. And then I think part two was just like a little more classic sci-fi, like black and white people fight sand people. Like it's, you know, a little more almost simplistic in terms of like the core of the story. Obviously there are very complex themes in terms of, you know, invading like religions and like outsiders and the eradication of like a local peoples and all that stuff. However, the bigger part of the story, it still boils down to like this side versus the other one, which is like setting up the politics of the galactic world they're in. So I was just like in on this one and the action. And Matt, I'm actually curious like how you felt about the action, because I was like, oh, this is great. Like, I am so invested in the tactics of this.
Oh, same. I was worried it would be more.
Yeah.
To be honest. And so I even like, you know, the final battle, the large scale of the battle, and it's like even with the riding the sandworms and them coming in, I thought like we were going to get like a Battle of Pelennor Fields, you know, Lord of the Rings, like we're going to be here for 45 minutes, you know, and which, you know, no shade to my beloved Lord of the Rings, but I just mean like I thought that they were going to be doing something like that, and they didn't, because the beauty of Dune, I think what he captures so well to the points you're making is that the first, I agree that I liked this part two even better than part one, but I think that it's that The first is setting up all of this, you know, political intrigue and all these things, but this is kind of showing the acting upon all of that setup. And so,
yeah,
you know, I remember having conversations after the first one, like after, because I saw the first one with you, Jackie, I remember. And I remember coming out of it, and I remember our first conversations kind of feeling like not feeling the clarity of why the Atreides family was sent there. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And like why the Harkonnens were just like, and I'm like, oh, it's a political move. You just don't, they didn't like explain it too thoroughly yet, but you'll see it's a thing. And I thought this really showed that nicely. They of course made some changes to character motivations and certain things.
They made a lot of, yeah.
Yeah. And that's kind of where I get into, like, I thought it was really successfully done. I compare it to how I feel about how the adaptations of Lord of the Rings are done, in that like there are a lot of changes and things that I'm like, oh, I miss this, I miss that. But everything about it is like still intact. It is still very much Dune. And it's like they just made choices that were like, well, this will maybe feel more clear in the way we're telling the story. They really focused it as a Bene Gesserit story more than I think the books really are, which, you know. Well, no, not more than they are, but I guess they put more.
I think they bring them power, more to the forefront. More to the forefront. I think they make it more visible versus like the books.
Yeah, like, that's what I mean. Like,
they've been the witches all along. Like,
yes, but I just mean that they're more, in the forefront of the storytelling, I guess. And so it's like that I don't dislike. But I think that he kind of shifts focus a little bit in such a way that, he just felt was more successful for a film. And I don't disagree, but there are some characters and things that were kind of left out that I was like, oh.
Yeah.
You know.
We're going to take a quick break and be right back. And we're back. Jackie, to go back to your point, the thing I also loved about this one is that Zendaya actually has a role in it, you know? Like, in the first one, it was just like, Zendaya's in this movie. And you're like, is she in this movie? Because this is being generous.
Well, it's kind of like Anya Taylor-Joy. I mean, she count as being in the movie?
Well, but at least they weren't like, they waited to try.
Didn't advertise.
You know, they weren't like, she's on the poster, she's this and that. They were like, we're going to try and keep this a secret as long as we can. Versus the first one, like, Zendaya is in Dune, and then you should, like, five minutes of it.
Well, when Javier Bardem was there for, like, 10 minutes, like, in the middle of it, and then at the end, but you're like, where are these people if you don't know the story in it?
Yeah, but so I think for me, I was like, oh, I love that she has a character arc in this one, and they did make some pretty massive changes, and so the reason I was like, I don't care about this romance is because I knew it was doomed to fail, because, you know, I don't think they can change the idea of him marrying the princess becoming like effectively like eventual emperor of the galaxy.
Yeah, but I think to that point, because we kind of differed on this too, where I liked the moments of their, I liked the relationship in this almost better than I do in the book, to be honest. I just didn't like that while they decided to make her someone who is making more powerful choices for herself and for her people,
and for
they
people,
gave her more volition in that way. I felt that it kind of got reduced to, by the ending of it, like, oh, now I'm a woman scorned. You know, like, they kind of had that vibe, because I like in the book that while she is, you know, his concubine, like his dad has, Jessica has his concubine, like that's how they describe it, right? In the book, she's with him in this decision. Like, he's making the decision to go after Irulan, but she's with him, and it's the understanding that, like, he's not going to give Irulan an heir, and he will have children with Shani. So it's like a thing where,
well,
but this ended it very like, oh, it's a triangle and you've betrayed me, you know?
Well, I think the difference is it's, you know, Lady Jessica is not, she is his concubine, but he never gets married or like gets somebody else, but he refuses to get married in order to, he's like, yeah, she's my concubine. So he has the political option to, versus Paul, who's just like, sorry, I'm going to make you my concubine now, effectively. And like, but I'm going to marry this lady, you know?
Yeah. No. And I guess when I say that, I mean that not as like, oh, my side piece. I just mean it more Shani and Paul, that's their relationship. And even though this gave her more kind of, I think, volition in a good way.
Yeah.
think it also then makes it a thing where in the original story where she is on board with this political move and by his side for it and agrees with it. In a way that can be empowering in itself, I think, rather than kind of just reducing it to like, now she's heartbroken and now scorned and kind of just like riding off on a worm and just kind of being like, men suck. Like, that's just, I'm not saying that's all that they're trying to say, but that's the vibe I felt by the end of it. And I was like, oh, I didn't love that. I kind of, I'm okay with her being upset about it, but I kind of want, I'm sure if we get Messiah, I'm sure that will be more conversation.
Yeah. I mean, I just left it. That's interesting because I had very a different experience where I was just like, yes, like she gets the last shot of the movie. Like I thought that was really powerful in that, like, she, you know, we are making this about the Fremen now instead of, you know, this invader who, it's so funny because, like, he's a terrible character. I mean, not a terrible character, but like the things that eventually happen because of this family on this planet, and like the way that I don't know, major spoilers for like later in the series.
I've read all six, and then I've read a couple of the ones that
the prequels. I just like tiny spoiler, but not like ones, yeah. By the end of the sixth book, like Frank Herbert was not of the soundest of mind, and like
no, it was not well.
I can't remember if it's Leto 2 or like one of the other sons, but basically people start turning into giant sandworm gods. Like the humans like morph into sandworms.
Yeah. Well, that's essentially what Paul
is. The emperor. Yeah. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I'm like, this is, you know, this dude is unhinged. Like we will eventually go on a journey. There's a reason they're not going to talk about making whatever the sixth one is.
Well, that's what I actually was thinking. I was like, how far are they going to take this? And I was like, you know,
I feel like Messiah is the last of the sanity. Like,
well, because I was going to say if they were going to, I don't know how many they're going to do, but I was like, I think you could do, I support this being split into films. I think you could do Messiah as one film. Honestly.
Oh, you could do Children of Dune.
And then Children of Dune and the others, and take what you want from the others, you could make into one other film. So you could have four of these, I think, is what you're given.
Right.
Because it does go to a place. But
right. You cannot do God thing, Emperor of Dune.
No, you cannot.
Dune and, or Chapter House Dune. Yeah, okay.
And one thing that I was talking to after we saw it, so I was bummed. I get it, but I was bummed about Alia.
Mm-hmm.
Because she is, I didn't say this in the first film because, you know, we hadn't heard of her yet, so I don't want to spoil like how she exists and stuff, but she is probably, if not definitely, my favorite character in the franchise.
Yeah.
Because I find her fascinating. She's essentially like the Scarlet Witch of Dune. Like, you know, like essentially in characterization.
Which one is Alia?
Anya Taylor-Joy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But as like, like her childhood and being born is really important because she's carrying, you know, they hint at it. They're like, oh, she's pregnant. What have we done? But then they don't like explain further,
and then,
that they've created a monster.
But then Mohayim called Paul an abomination, and it bothered me because I was like, because if basically, so Jackie, when you go through whatever process on whatever planet you're on to become a reverend mother and you are pregnant, it is something that like all the Bene Gesserit know, like that is forbidden, and a child in that womb then is an abomination and must be killed. Like that's like what it is. And that's
so she knew she was doing that then. Right?
Yeah, which
I don't really F with Lady Jessica much because I think she's reckless.
Yeah.
But that being said, Alia, I mean, she's a great character for
the story. I know. That's just such a good quote. I don't F with Lady Jessica much because I think she's reckless.
But Rebecca Ferguson plays her. Rebecca Ferguson plays her flawlessly, and I love it. And it's like, it's great. She's great for the story, right? Because we need people making terrible decisions sometimes. But I don't forgive her for doing that to her daughter. Because she knows she's pregnant, you know, the whole time.
Yeah.
And does it anyway. And so, anyway, whatever. But Alia, you know, is born as a full adult, as a baby, but a full adult mentally, right? And everything. And has all of this, you know, she's essentially a reverend mother by birth, you know, and that's just not allowed. I think really the Bene Gesserit are just afraid of that power, what that could yield. But she essentially becomes this figure who, without spoiling like everything that happens, I'm just saying she just becomes this thing who like she is unstable at times, and like provides a lot of very interesting kind of like, that's why I compare it to Wanda, because it's like things where it's like she's just too powerful for her own good.
Mm-hmm. Well,
doesn't know what to do with it half the time and can easily be taken advantage of.
Well, it's not only that, she's not only born as like a fully formed person. She is born with the memories of like of every Bene Gesserit who came before her. So she doesn't ever have a chance to become her own person and before she undergoes this transformation. She is one of the most interesting characters.
Yeah, she has this terrible burden. Right?
Very hard to like portray on film. So this was a choice.
It was. And so Jackie, in the book, she is born. And by the time we see the ending and all of the battle and everything, she's like a 4-year-old. As I think, Dana, do you remember, does she age rapidly also, like physically? Is there
not really, but because in like the David Lynch movie, they had like a slightly older kid play her because you couldn't have, you know, but but also it's because they're on Arrakis and like, you know, she's a spice baby. So,
right. So like, I don't know what
baby spice.
But she's Baby Spice. But yeah. In the book, which Baby Spice was always my favorite Spice Girl. But anyway, in the book, she is the one who she discovers because of the memories that they are all descendants of Vladimir Harkonnen. Yeah. And so she, as a child, kills him with the Gamjabber. And I didn't love that they gave that to Paul here. Like, mm-hmm. because the thing is there's other stuff that ends up happening between him in this other realm and her that ends up being a big problem for her. That, and it's interesting to her story that I was like, but that to me, like, I like the connection of her having killed him and revealing that that's grandpa.
Yeah.
And then what happens to her later on. So I thought that they really took that away from her, and I did not love that choice.
Yeah.
But I do get it, but it just bothered me.
I agree. Like, in the moment, though, I was just like, I'm fine with this.
Well, no, it was still a great scene and everything. I just
No, the consequences, if they continue down this path, are the things that
it made me think, oh, you don't actually have full plans on, like, really doing.
No, they're not going to. I always knew. I was like, there's no way. Like, you just can't. I mean, you can, but it would be a choice.
Yeah.
I will say that I found Austin Butler the hottest I've ever found him. And I don't know what that says about me as a person.
I mean, more power to you. Can we talk about my favorite character in this entire thing? And that is Christopher Walken as the Emperor. Because anytime he opened his mouth, I giggled. Because he just sounded exactly like he played a good role, you know, but I can't do a Christopher Walken impression, but you know, you know exactly what, like, I'm, you know, he would say, I giggled to myself or out loud. And then I would be like, okay, serious scene now,
No, but he was really fantastic. I thought, like, I was, for someone who didn't say much, you know, he was memorable. And I loved when he was on that throne on his ship and like there, and it was like, I was really like, I loved his body language, the way he was sitting there. He was kind of doing this weird hunched over, kind of just decrepit, kind of creepy thing. And I don't know if it's just that, like, Christopher Walken's old and sits like that now or what, but I was really into, like, what he was giving physically. I just loved it.
You know what?
I'm not a huge Austin Butler guy either or at all. I liked him in this. So I thought he did a good job. I thought the voice was strange. Like, the voice itself was fine, but I couldn't figure out what he was trying to do accent wise. At first it was like, it sounded like some other dialect. I was like, okay. And then all of a sudden he sounded totally American. And then I heard a little Elvis slipping through. And then later on, I was like, it was back to some weird kind of accent. And I was like, I'm not sure what we're doing. Mm-hmm. But the performance itself, I support.
And I don't think he knows what he's doing anymore.
No.
I think he drove Dave Bautista off the edge, though, because I will say, I'm not a big Dave Bautista guy either, but I liked him in the first one.
You know I love Dave Bautista.
But in this one, I thought all he was doing was just screaming and yelling. And I was like, I thought that his performance in the first one was a lot more nuanced than this. I thought this was just kind of like, he's more stressed and failing and he's worried about things. But I just was like, oh God, I think he's like going over the top and doing the most because he's like, he doesn't want to be overshadowed by Austin Butler.
I love that we all had very different reactions to that, because I was like, oh, this is my favorite Dave Bautista performance in a while, because I thought he actually, not all of it, but there are moments where, okay, I felt like his rage, it felt authentic in points, right? Because we've seen him like scream and be angry as Drax, and I was just like, screaming McYelly. But this, I was like, oh, Dave tapped into something here. So maybe you're right. Maybe he was pissed off at Austin.
Well, because they turned Drax into a comedian, which is part of the problem.
Also that, but like,
here it's like, he is playing a maniac.
Even like the physical scenes, right? Like, we've seen him yell.
Well, and I did see that in this, he was credited as Beast instead of Glossu. So like, I know that he gets called Beast eventually, but the first film, I think he's credited as Glossu. And so I was like, maybe they're trying to go with like this kind of like almost transformative into like, this is why he's Beast.
This planet destroys you.
He's lost it. And he's just like, so I could support that. But I just, I was like, when he was just yelling the whole, I don't think he said one thing not yelling.
He said a few things not yelling, but he did a lot of yelling.
And then the other one that I don't want to say I didn't like the performance, but I found myself just very whelmed by Florence Pugh.
I knew you were going to say, and I don't agree with you. I do. I thought, given the scope of the performance, I thought she did a great job. I think she set up.
I didn't think she was bad at all. I was just whelmed. Whereas, like, I really like Irulan, and I thought, I wasn't getting a lot going on there. Like, I don't know how to describe it besides, like, I just felt it was very kind of like, almost like she was just surprised by everything going on instead of kind of like being sly about anything.
I mean, I got the scheming from it, but I think, yeah, I can understand. It felt like she was playing it kind of like a man, right? Like she wanted to be emotionless in those instances when she's supposed to be like sly or whatever. And I kind of wanted her to bring more feminine energy to it, I guess. But that being said, I think she did well. This is like nitpicky and whatever, but it felt to me very like, in order to lead, I must be emotionless person.
Well, she's also a Bene Gesserit. So like they're all, you know, but I think, I think it was, some of this is probably a byproduct of them, you know, adjusting the Chani character, because Chani is like softer and feminine in some ways and like, you know, more acquiescent to Paul's wishes. And Irulan is more of how calculated, like for
which is
the
interesting. Chani to me does not feel that way.
No. What I'm saying is not in the movie. In the book,
okay. I
feel like they were like, we can't have, God forbid, we have two, you know, women who are similar enough. So they like, you know, amped up Chani's kind of like aggressiveness and for lack of a better word, like masculinity, and then they like dialed down Irulan's, you know, more typical.
I feel more power from her usually, and I will acknowledge too that one of my large toxic traits is like lately in my life when there's a need for a white blonde woman, I want it to be Elizabeth Debicki, and so in my mind I had cast her in this role, and then when Florence got cast, I was like, okay, I can see that,
yeah.
But I just kept thinking about how I just felt Elizabeth Debicki would have done it, and then
Elizabeth
on the
who?
Debicki. And then on the. She's also my casting for Avar Chris in like High Republic. I cast her if there's a white blonde lady. I don't know. I can't help it. But on the other side of that, though,
for knowledge, she played Diana in The Crown for a bit.
She did. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. She Diana. Yeah. And she plays the gold lady in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah. Aisha. And then she's in Tenet. And she's
I haven't seen almost anything she's in, it looks like.
Yeah, I love her. She's just majestic. I don't know how to describe it. But
you have seen stuff she's in. She's just a background character in most.
No, I know. I mean, I've seen Guardians of the Galaxy, but I don't remember her in it.
No, so, I know. That's the point. You know. Right. She's like, I find her, no offense, semi-forgettable unless it's The Crown.
I mean, I'm not offended, but I just love her. But we all know I have weird quirks and stuff. So, but I was going to say, on the flip side of it, though, when we talk about Bene Gesserit and kind of like how they all act and everything, I found Lea Seydoux as Lady Fenring, I thought she was fantastic. And I wanted more of her. And that's a character that I always really like in the book, as well as her husband, who was completely cut. Mm-hmm. But I like their political scheming that they do. And I found her scene with Austin Butler, where she seduces him, I found that to be one of the best. And shot, the set, the acting, the music, everything about the atmosphere, the whole thing, I was just like, this is fantastic. Like, just as like a short film. I just thought that was amazing.
Yeah, you know what's a shame is Tim Blake Nelson was supposed to be Count Venring, and they had to cut his part. Yeah.
Oh, that would have been great. Yeah, I really like him and her together, and so I thought that would have been a nice thing. But I guess I was just thankful she was in it, because honestly you could have done this without her if you needed to. So
the biggest challenge of Dune, right, is like, you know, there are you could have made Dune 1 into like 5 books or 5 movies. Yeah. but I still like, even though I knew how it ended and even though there were changes being made, and I'm not gonna lie, I completely forgot what the changes from the books were until I like looked it up after. There were some things that I was like, oh, of course, like, you know, the fact that the sister isn't born. Yeah.
The ones that I know are just related to these characters that I very much love. And it's like, other than that, though, I'm like, I'm sure there were plenty of changes that I don't know of and I don't care.
I knew at the end of the day, like, the Atreides were going to win, and I still had my heart in my throat for, like, the battle sequences. You know, I was just like,
when he was fighting Fade Rotha, I was like, I know how this goes, but I don't know what's
going to happen. They were great.
In the giant disco ball Death Star.
Yeah, I loved it. I loved it. Yeah.
But, you know, the art direction and
the costumes.
And the soundtrack. Incredible. All of it. Great. Top notch.
Oh, Stilgar. Sorry, Javier Bardem. Stilgar.
Our comedian? relief?
But he is a favorite character of mine for sure. And I just, and Javier, I mean, he's on the list for me. And I just thought he was fantastic. I
Yeah, in the first one, he was so underused, and in this one,
that's what I mean. Yeah, and it was like, yeah, oh, this was finally.
Have you seen all the memes? It's just like Twitter has taken over, or X, or whatever the fuck it's called, and it's always just like, you know, something, and that, like, that's exactly what Lisan Al-Ghaib would say, and then it's just like the gift I sent you both earlier, you know, and so it's just like anything is like, that's what Momo would say, you know. And I'm enjoying it so much because like a weird joyful fanaticism without it becoming like oppressive, yeah. I think is the way they conveyed it, yeah, in a very balanced way. Yeah.
One thing too that I think you'd be interested in, Jackie, that I do wish they do touch upon it, and it is part of it, but that I wish that they spelled out a little bit more when it comes to the Bene Gesserit is this birthing program, mm-hmm, right? And I forget how explicitly they do talk about it in the first one. I've seen it several times, but the whole thing with like Paul existing is that with that prophecy, like Jessica was supposed to wield a daughter, and the Bene Gesserit can literally just choose to get pregnant when they.
Well, yeah, because that one that sex. Slept with Austin, mm-hmm, right?
Yeah, she just did, like, right?
Secure so, the air!
Because like, it was, like, purposeful, so, right? Like,
yeah.
They
needed.
And so, yeah, through the years of, like, research and stuff that, you know, Count Fenring is involved with as well, which is why I'm sad he's not in there. It's like they were trying to make this male heir, who would become this Messiah. And so the whole thing was that Jessica was supposed to give a daughter to Leto Atreides, and that daughter was supposed to get with Fade Rotha, who is
Austin
Butler, that son was going to be this, and so it happened early, and they don't want it to be Paul because she broke the rules and stuff, and so it's interesting because it's like there's all this, like, I always found that really fascinating and interesting that this whole kind of like birthing plan and all that and stuff, and
no, because it was very clear that
power,
I mean, it's also like it's a fucked up, like,
it's crazy.
It's eugenics plot line is basically. Well, I mean, it's not necessarily to imply like the whole of everyone they're breeding is this, but like they have been. It's a human breeding program.
Well, but also, I mean, that's very cool. But I like the machinations of it, right? Like, I like the idea. Yeah,
eugenics not cool. We're just putting it there. None of us are supportive.
It's dark and interesting. That's
I like figuring out that they kind of made up this Messiah thing, and that they were kind of, you know, like this was all part of the plan to keep this planet in line, right? And so knowing that they even.
Well, it's not just to keep that planet in line. It's like they keep all the planets in line by.
It's the siege power.
Yes. Like their whole system of governance, I guess, they use this religious factor to keep everyone in line.
Because they're playing the emperor too, and they're just like, this is like,
yeah.
You know,
I mean,
this,
that's what I got from this, it too. I was like, oh, so they're the real power players, clearly.
And that's the thing is, they do successfully get that across, and I love that. I just like, I just like that birthing thing so much that I like wish it was.
Honestly, I do wish we got more with them because, like, I love that shit, right? Like, that's like
so interesting.
But. You know, and so maybe that's even why I kind of like the first one better, because we get all these peeks into these places that I didn't know about. And then, like, I like the this intrigue. One. I'm not saying I don't. And I had a really great time.
But it has the intrigue of, like, ooh, what is this? What is that? Whereas, Dana and I are coming from a place of, like, knowing what is this and what is that, and then wanting to see it, you know? So it's like, it's a little
different. A question to pose to the two of you. Because I didn't rewatch the first part going into this, and I haven't reread the books in a hot minute. Do you think, just because Dune is so influential in modern sci-fi, do you think someone could theoretically see part two without seeing part one and have it make sense? Enough sense. Obviously, there are
nuances. I think it could make enough sense to enjoy it because it's such a spectacle and it's like, you know, but I don't think they could do it and just like totally be like, I don't think part two renders part one as optional. You know what I'm saying?
No. I'm not saying it's odd, but I was like,
it definitely creates a much richer story if you watch part one. Mm-hmm. But I do think that the people, not to be an asshole, but I mean, a lot of people watch things like Transformers and are fine, right? And those plots don't make any sense at all. Like they're nonsensical.
Yeah.
So I absolutely believe that someone could watch this beautiful spectacle of part two and still feel satisfied at the end because some people don't care if the plot makes sense.
Well, I think the base level plot is just so, like, you know, for lack of a better word, good guys, bad guys, right?
Yes, and so, it is simplistic.
And I think because it's, like, the rest of the craftsmanship is so beautiful and so, like, captivating that, again, I'm not saying you should watch part two without having ever seen
no,
part
no,
one.
Yeah.
I was thinking about it. I was like, yeah, no, I think you could do it and have a good time at the movies.
So. That's what I mean, is I think you could get what you need to be able to say, wow, I really liked that.
Yeah.
And I think part of it is because he does such a good job of, like, showing. He tells, but he shows so much more than he tells. Mm-hmm. And I think it's like, even just watching, like, the pounding on the sand and stuff, it's like, you could never have seen the first one and then all of a sudden be like, okay, so that's how they're calling these worms. Because mm-hmm. that's what you're watching them do. It's like, you know what I mean? And it's like these weird worms that are under for whatever reason. Like, it doesn't, the why is not as important as the, like, okay, I understand what's going on here.
Yeah.
And well, you understand there's people, evil people, that are exactly. trying to control yeah. everything. Yeah. And it's like these people are
monochrome are people versus tan people.
Yeah. And you have, like, you have the underdog story going against the powers that be. It's like, that's the tale as old as time.
Right.
And everyone knows that story. Yeah. Right. And yes. then, like, everyone knows the chosen one who doesn't mm-hmm. really want the responsibility, you know, story as well. So I think it hits into, you know, home base like that. And then on top of it, the visuals and the everything is so spectacular that, yes, I think you could. I don't think you should.
I'm not recommending it. I'm not, yeah. None of yeah. us are recommending it, but I just had the thought. I was like, that's, to me, still an impressive feat.
No, but I feel like that's good storytelling.
Totally.
Right? Yeah. Like, the ability to get us captivated in both sides of it, even if you hadn't seen.
Credit has to be given to the influence of the source material because, like, you know,
sure.
Star Wars, right? Like, you've probably seen Star Wars. You probably, therefore, you can pick up on, like, Stormtrooper, Jedi, you know, like, yeah. robes and brown versus, like, yeah. Imperials and white. Like, okay, we figured it out.
Stuff came from. You're like, oh,
yeah.
okay.
Yeah.
And I think that it's the mark, even though, like, again, like we talked about, I hesitate to say this is a sequel because it's, like, a second
part.
Part
it's a continuation.
Thing.
Yeah.
Continuation. But most of the best sequels ever, by most people's standards, like, do pass that test. Like, you could come in and watch The Empire Strikes Back and get enough without mm-hmm. having seen Star Wars, right? You could come in and watch Aliens and not have seen Alien and enjoy that film completely. Or, like, you really could. I mean, it's
no,
like,
no,
you don't
no, no, no. I'm not making that. I'm the only thing I agree with you on those. I am not somebody who's, I'm not a Godfather movie person.
I was going to say Godfather Part 2. You could do the same
but
thing.
I was like, could you do that? Because I haven't yes. seen it in so long and I couldn't remember.
You absolutely could do it. Okay. Yeah. Because Godfather Part 2 is, like, a lot of like flashbacks about a guy who's in Part 1, but it doesn't, like, but it's like you
they give you enough.
All a
yeah.
It's all
yeah,
a family.
Or, like two
there
towers.
Are people.
Could you do two towers with that? Yeah, you could do two towers. With
you
that.
Could do two towers. Yeah, be, you'd be like, yeah.
Yeah.
You'd be devastated.
You have a good time. Like, you wouldn't missed. Understand, you know.
I just mean, when you look at these films that are, like, even, you know, that they're successful sequels, they stand on their own and they are enhanced by what came before them, and that matters to the story, but yeah. they can stand on their own as a film. It's the sequels that come in and without the first are nothing, that are just not really saying anything, you know.
Right.
And it's like, okay, so I think it passes that test for sure.
And I do love another thing that, you know, a Star Wars has taken thing from, where in a world of, you've got your Fade Rothas and your Irulans and whatever, and then you've got Paul and Jessica.
Yeah.
I'm like, come on.
Yeah.
Keeping traditions alive.
You must.
Speaking of our next show, I was doing my review and it was Dune and into Shogun. And I was like, man, a lot of parallels here. Like, you know, invading effectively religious force, we'll call it, you know, a bunch of feudal folks, or not feudal, but just, like, you know, major noble houses at war. Like, you know, it's a big week for this type of drama. How are you two liking it? Have you seen the mini series before, the 80s version? Or have you read the book?
I've read the book in college, but yeah, I've seen.
I have not read the book and I have not seen the miniseries.
Neither have I.
So what did you two think? I'm curious.
So I'm a virgin to the story.
Yeah.
I loved it. I had a really good time. You know, I love this political intrigue shit. So of course, like, yeah, I mean, the costumes were beautiful. I loved, yeah, I had a really good time.
I am delighted to hear that. More. Matt?
Yeah, I thought that this is, like, incredible, honestly. Mm-hmm. I like we've been talking a lot about like really good shows lately, but like this, I was, there's something about it that I just, while watching it, I'm just like, how is this happening? Like, it just, it feels like it's,
I was so,
so
impressed with the way that they did the different languages and without it making it feel really repetitive, because everyone's speaking a different language. And I thought, okay, they're going to do the stupid American thing where everyone's suddenly speaking English.
English.
No reason,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then of course, Portuguese is English, but whatever. But I was just very impressed with the cuts and the way that they made that work without it feeling weird, I guess.
Well, I just think that the spectacle of the whole thing, it's like the effects are crazy, especially for television. I don't know. It feels such a cut above of most of the things that we've been watching lately. It's just such movie quality, but not even like normal. It's like Dune movie quality to me, like honestly, like the way it looks. Because, you know, they're filming on beautiful locations and the cinematography is fantastic, all this stuff. But, you know, you're looking at like feudal Osaka and it's just kind of like, okay, clearly this is digital. There are digital things here, but it looks great. Like, I know you can tell certain things, but it's, I don't know. And the way the pacing, I think the casting across the board is pretty solid.
Introducing us to this world really well. Like, I hate when they just do like info dumps, you know, I just think that's such lazy storytelling, but they're doing a very good job of hinting at things and then giving us more.
Well, they're not spoon feeding you. They're just,
yes,
they're just
exactly. And so you just have to pay attention. And I like love it. I love that. You know,
I agree with both of you. I think the show is fantastic. My one asterisk for me is the casting of Blackthorn, and I just
don't do it. I'm here again to defend Cosmo Jarvis.
Not with Cosmo Jarvis. I cannot, because much like Dave Bautista in Dune, all he does is scream for the first two episodes. Basically, he finally towards the very end of episode two like has a civil conversation and like polite one, but I am struggling so hard with this guy. And I get it. Some of it is supposed to be, this is a haughty Englishman coming into a society that he thinks, you know, he's up hoity-toity, but I can't. I'm struggling.
Yeah, I think he's doing an okay job. I don't like the character because I don't, you know, I mean.
Yeah.
Right?
I don't care. Like, I don't care about the character either.
I mean, maybe in the 70s we were supposed to root for the white man, right? But I don't think that's what's going to end up. Who cares who you can choose who you root for, right?
Well, I think there are multiple people that you root for, but he is a large protagonist of the story. So you are
the thing is like he's that for the story, bringing us into everything and able. That's how we're able to understand. You know what I mean? Like he's our entry into there.
But I mean, like also, like this is a book that's called the Asian Saga, but it's essentially like every single one of them is about a European man stumbling into a different part of Asia that, and then learning about the ways. And so it's like he is our protagonist of the story. But but it's so you are supposed to like they want you to like him, you know. So that there is that, but. Yeah, I don't know. I like Cosmo. I know I'm on a world of one here about that, but because we talked about him with Persuasion, and I remember Persuasion. You guys.
No, I know, but I couldn't remember. Yeah, Jackie, like if you him. Like.
Well, no, I don't think he's
a character in Persuasion.
Yeah,
I don't think he's all that attractive. So
definitely not that either.
Yeah, I find him attractive, but yeah.
But that's fine. You know, I don't need to, you know, there's plenty of things.
No, but I need to find him a good actor, and I am not finding that.
Oh, I don't mind the performance, I guess. At least I didn't think it. Yeah, it didn't bump on it, I guess I'll say.
Oh, good, because he's going to be in all of it. So.
Yeah.
I mean, and obviously, like, you know, like when you first, actually, I read the book for Game of Thrones, so I kind of knew what was going on more. But like in this one, there's a lot of characters, there's a lot of things. And so I will say that, like, I am getting sometimes some of the different like lords mixed up a little, and like so I think that's something that like you'll gain more clarity
with
as the story goes on, right? Because like you'll start to understand where everyone's lanes are and everything. But I love that shit, so I'm not mad about it. I'm just
it's also
it can
like
take a minute.
Yeah, it's not only that, it's like it's constantly shifting, right? And like they are revealing to us step by step who is loyal to whom, like who are allies. So you know, we might they we might be like, oh yeah, these two are allies, right? And then like suddenly, like an episode later, you're like, oh, that was a backstab.
The female assassin was fucking cool. Oh, that was great. She was
murdering people left and right.
I was like, oh, I was so sad she died. I was like, oh man.
I know. She was great though.
Can we talk about Anna Sawai though?
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm so happy for her and love her. Like, this is such a good role. Like, she's a favorite for me in the story, and I just like love her. And
oh, same.
It's she's so good. She just brings.
Oh my
this,
god! When
like,
she was helping her friend who has to kill the baby, like I was
so much baby murder.
It was so sad, but it was just like she brings this. She's tough, but has this like delicate nature to her.
The softness.
She does the duality of it.
Mm-hmm. She also holds quiet really well.
Yes, that's what it is. It's like you notice her there though. Like her presence is just very, it's palpable. Mm-hmm. But she's I'm in love with her in this. And
me
just,
too.
Yeah, I was a little stressed knowing that she was cast in this because like I think did anyone else watch Monarch: Legacy of Monsters, the Godzilla show? Yeah, I thought she was fine in it. Like, it's not the strongest show in the world, but I think one of the challenges is also she has to act a lot of the times in, like, an American accent, and she's not American. And so I was a tiny bit concerned about her ability to, like, do a completely, you know, Japanese role, but clearly she speaks Japanese. So I was like, oh, okay, we're fine.
And, like, Pachinko, though.
Yeah, I love her in Pachinko, yeah. But,
oh, she
but
was good in that.
The last thing I watched of hers was Monarch, and I was like,
Yeah. Well, and she's,
Yeah, she's my favorite so far. Like, that's the
Oh, dude, Hiroyuki Sanada for me is like
the
main kind of guy who's being positioned as our Ned Stark, for lack of a better word.
Yes. I mean, I like him too, but you know, yeah, but I like her.
She's so good and I think he's amazing, but
he's doing a great job, but I just feel like we know what that character is going to do, and I'm really interested to see how this, like, you know, her being Catholic, and obviously she's going to get a relationship of some sort with the
right, and she's a woman in a
patriarchal
society. Yeah,
and also she's being favored over her husband in a lot of ways, and so that's really interesting because I don't really know why yet. If I didn't pick it up, if they told us, so
well, it's just that she
speaks Portuguese, but so does the priest. But I guess he doesn't trust the priest.
Yeah, he doesn't
trust
the priest.
Why would he trust a woman? You know what I mean? Like, but anyway.
Oh, because she's his lieutenant's daughter-in-law. She's like a, you know, she's a known quantity. Like, you know.
She's an important family at that point.
Yeah. So.
Okay.
Yeah. But she is sort of like this outsider-ish character because she is a Catholic.
And then when there was some scene that it was like a flashback, was she, and he was saying he didn't care about beautiful women or whatever. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Was he almost married to her? Is that what that was?
I think he was almost married to the person who eventually became the mother of the heir.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So like
they're different generation. Yeah.
Yeah. Because so the person who's like kid is there, everyone's trying to protect, and like they're in the stalemate over, you know, before they become 16. Right, I think that's the case, but I don't think it was supposed to be.
If I remember correctly, but it's not like a huge deal.
It's not the point.
But it's yeah.
I also love, like, I think she was his first wife. Like you know, they're at the flash forward. So in like present times, and they're like discussing.
Oh, yeah.
Anna Sawai comes in to like, you know, give her opinion. And like, there's two other women. One of them's pregnant with Hiroyuki Sanada's characters. Like, but the other one is clearly like, I think his OG wife.
Yeah.
And the way she just like razzes him a little bit. And like,
it's
like fun flirting almost.
It was cute.
Like, oh,
it was
I like
cute.
This. Like,
I like that they were like accepting of each other.
Yeah, and you could tell that, like, you know, because he clearly is a character who could have been like, murder her right now, and they would have murdered her right now. You know, how dare you say that about me? But I just like the nuances of the show.
Yeah. Well, then I loved, and I don't want to butcher his name, but Tadanobu Asano, who plays
the
general. Yeah. He is fantastic.
Wait, which one does he play?
So he's the one.
He's like the general that. Like
he's the one who orchestrates the ambush and like falls down the cliff a little bit.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah. He's
and he's
great.
The most like,
he was like I just
is he good or is he not? Like
Yeah, and he's just plays that double-sided kind of two-faced mm-hmm. thing very well. And he's so good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It just feels so real. Like it feels like with this and Dune, it was just such a like fantastic week of these things that you know, we've talked a lot about some films and shows kind of feeling cheaper lately, and like, you know, these special effects and these artists aren't given like their budgets and the things they need to make things look amazing, like we know we can and all that stuff. And in a world of, not to keep peeing on Marvel, but I look at it, I'm like, in a world where like I feel like they have played a large part in the lessening of the quality of the look of things, because they're learning that the audiences don't care. Expediting, but then learning that it doesn't affect the audience numbers if they do that. And so now it's like, well, why would we spend the time? And these were kind of like, I was like, oh, cinema is not dead. And not that I thought it was, but you know, and then it's like a television, and it was like, this is crazy. And this is effects. And I know effects has been, you know, they've made some great stuff and they put budgets behind things, but I was like, it looks better than half the things I see on HBO. Like, it looks so.
And it's good. Funny because all owned by the same parent company at the end of the day.
I know. But I'm like, how did this happen? And that's why I'm just like pinching myself. And I'm like, I love that the story is brand new or newer. No, you've seen the miniseries. Oh, no, you haven't done it, Danny. So
no, I
love the story is new because I'm excited.
I know
to
what
see
the
what
story of Shogun ends in, but like.
Yeah, okay. But I'm excited to see like what you all think about like the rest of it. I'm thrilled to see what they're going to do with the rest of it. But we get 10 episodes.
I know.
I was so excited about that because I looked it up after and I was like, oh no, please don't be like 4 episodes.
No, it's 10.
We get to like live in it for a while, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, take it in. I'm like, it's a moment. I told everybody at work about it today. And I was like, if you're not watching it, you can't be here.
Yeah, I was worried
I texted
it was gonna get
a lot of people. I was like, so you should really watch Shogun. It's pretty great.
No, I'm.
I told everyone it was the new Game of Thrones, which.
Yeah.
I really thought that because I was like, I haven't, it's that idea because political intrigue and all that stuff, you know, but it's like I compared it to like the feeling of watching the first stuff of Game of Thrones and just being like, oh, wow, this is really good. You know, like
the first couple, you were like, oh, my God, this is like movie quality. Like, wow. Yeah. You know, and well, that's what is. I feel like with Shogun. I was like, ooh, this is gorgeous and well done.
Well, it's also like, it's down to the minor details and like the. Even if there's a bunch of CG backgrounds, like you were saying, right? Like, the people still look dirty. Like, appropriately dirty.
But the CG backgrounds also look great. Like, it fits.
But I'm saying, they've paid attention to.
Well, and they have stuff to, like, you could tell they built, like, a lot of the sets, though. You know what I mean? And so there were things for them to interact with. Like, even if they weren't necessarily as big as sets would have been back in the day, like, they were still there.
Right.
Yeah. When they're letting the story be, you know, they're letting it be soft when it is, they're letting it be disturbing when it's disturbing. That baby stuff was troubling. Yeah. That man boiling in that pot was disturbing as hell. Like, I felt ill about it.
At first, I literally thought they were just giving him a bath, and I know he was screaming, but I thought maybe he didn't know better, you know?
Yeah.
Oh. And then I was like, oh, God, they're just giving him a bath because Christians are. I mean, at the time, Christians
only paid
like once a year. Like, it was.
Well, that's what that guy, you know, he brings up. It's like,
two
baths
in a week.
That's what I thought was funny. But, like, it's bad enough. It's like, they literally only bathed once a year. Like, it was a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even the royals.
But I felt like sick to my stomach when you hear the screams and the people just kind of like hearing it. Like, I felt very like. It was very zone of interest in that moment, but I was like, because you're just relying on sounds, you know, just like, oh God, you know, but yeah, it was. I just, it's powerful the way they're doing.
Firm agree. Can't wait for the next episode.
And it's one of those ones where you don't even want to look at your phone, which is great.
Oh, never. Yeah,
you know, like you're so in it, you know, which is kind of rare lately. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it is. You're not getting. Yeah,
and it's paced so well that like. You don't have a moment where you're like, oh, okay, I'm gonna.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's never boring. It's just.
No. Yeah. It's just appropriately quiet at times.
Yes.
Speaking of not quiet, did you watch This Is Me Now?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What in the hell did.
You know, that was some subtle filmmaking. Talking about subtlety and, you know, CG backgrounds.
Yes, very, very practical looking integrated.
Yeah,
CG
just
background.
Really, really.
Yeah.
And just the subtlety of everything is really what I want to hit home that she did so well. Just not hitting us over the head with what she wanted to say.
Not
you know,
at all.
It was so subtle.
Yeah. I had no idea.
In fact, I would love to know your interpretation of what we just saw.
I didn't believe my eyeballs for what we just saw, which is why I need
literally
two other humans to vouch for me
when
that
she's
it was
telling,
a thing. Yeah.
Yes, when she's telling us that hummingbird story, and
oh my God.
It's her in the animation with the other guy.
Oh my god.
Like, I was just like, oh.
That's the first story.
It's like, I was like, oh no. Oh god!
Because I thought it was a documentary. I thought it was supposed to be this documentary going.
And the thing is I knew it wasn't a
documentary. But there is a documentary about
it. It is a documentary. Yeah.
So you could accidentally watch that.
Yeah.
I had read a BuzzFeed article a couple of days before because apparently the Mark Anthony character, who's not Mark Anthony, she asked Anthony Ramos to do it. And he's actually friends with Mark Anthony. And so he said,
I think he agreed to do it and then talked to Mark Anthony.
Then,
I was like, oh, my bad.
And then she was like mad about it.
I had so much fun / could not believe my eyeballs watching whatever this was. It was terrible and majestic at the same time.
She spent her own money on it, right?
Yes. That's okay. That was the most mind-boggling thing. And for anybody who is listening who does not know what it is, it's basically like her attempt at like a Lemonade, but it's got these interstitial moments with a bunch of cameos from not actors effectively. And I just, I could not handle it. But what was I saying? I don't even remember. It was wild. I did not know what was going on, but I had the best time. Oh. So well, the fact that she
reminds me of like a true crime documentary. So basically, she's like doing these reenactments of her life, kind of with this story over top. It was
So that was the wildest thing to me is that she basically like funded this herself. She has a writing credit, you know, all this stuff. And so I'm like, this is how she wants us to see her. It's like unhinged to me. And I give her credit for being like, I'm gonna put all my dirty laundry out there. Like, I know you all, like, I acknowledge all these mistakes I've made. I am going to attempt to act in this, and I am going to recruit a bunch of my famous friends. And I could not have had a better time watching this. More power to you, J-Lo, for putting yourself out there and also roping in your husband to play whatever he was playing.
Well, that like Fox newscaster type of
person. Yeah, who sounded like Trump.
Like, I was like, why would you put him in that role? Like, it was...
Well, I just don't understand because I think she was trying to tell us that she finally found the one she loved with Ben.
Yes,
She's still trying to sell us on Bennifer. Like, it wasn't like some PR stunt just to make sure that she seems more stable or something.
Yeah. No, well, I mean, you know, he went through that bike ride with her. So, yes.
Oh my God, that bike ride with the like feel. Jesus Christ. It was.
Okay. Wait, Matt, did you say Pisces or Aquarius that you couldn't figure out?
I was Aquarius.
You were Aquarius. I don't think there was an Aquarius.
I think Ben is an Aquarius.
Ah, I'm looking at the cast list and I don't see an Aquarius list.
Oh, Ben's an Aquarius. Okay, that's probably why then. Or maybe she's an Aquarius.
Oh, good question.
But she could also date an Aquarius, so that's why it's like, okay, wait.
I don't know. Based on that. Oh, J-Lo is a Leo.
She's a Leo. Okay, yeah.
Wait, Ben that's Affleck. Right. He is also a Leo.
Oh.
She just didn't want to cast an Aquarius.
Rude.
There had to be, no?
Maybe she ran out of budget.
Yeah.
She had to have two Jennifer Lewises, which is a good choice.
That's true. Yeah.
But anyway, I could not believe what I was watching because I was listening to Las Culturistas and they were talking about it in like very seriously, which as we clearly are now as well. They're like, yeah, like this is a response to, you know, they were talking about basically like her relationship with Ben and like, oh, well, clearly like, you know, this symbolizes the moment that they both were just too famous and had to break up and this and that. They not once mentioned that there is an unhinged like Council of Zodiac character. So I thought it was a documentary.
You poor thing.
I know. I was more excited, I think, because I started watching it. And then this is actually, it's not the same, but like when we were watching Expats a couple weeks ago and it was like a completely different vibe. And I was just like, so I fast forwarded a little bit to be like, what? And then I got to the Council of Zodiac people, like Neil deGrasse Tyson showed up. And I was like, I don't know what this is, but I need to watch this, whatever this is at this point.
Jane Fonda.
You know? Jane Fonda, you know? Oh, Palmer, my God.
Although, yeah. It's funny. I don't think this was good, but I quite liked it. Like, I was like, I wasn't laughing as much as I wanted to, which is weird. I didn't partake in anything. I was just like totally, you know, lucid. But
oh, well, let me tell you,
if I wasn't laughing as much as I expected to. Not that I think it was good, but I actually didn't fast forward through the songs. I actually like, I was like, okay, because I will say I'm a music video maven. I love music videos, and I love bad ones. And I like the way that these effects look were very the effects were very like if you come to my home and we're going to be like going out to a drinks night or whatever, like you will find music videos playing on loop and just things going, and you'll see like Buttons by Pussycat Dolls. You'll see things that look like this.
Similar.
And so for me watching this, and I also, what I love more than a regular music video.
No, I was thinking, I was like,
it has to be a short film. And I thought that this was a bunch of short film music videos. And I was
It is. Start strung together. Yeah. With
I was like, okay. And I was not bored.
Therapy interstitials. Yeah.
Yeah. So thank you. I was very surprised because I was like, I did not want to watch this. I'm not much of, I like plenty of J-Lo music, like older, especially like 90s to early 2000s. I like her. I'm not a big J-Lo guy in general. I don't think she's a great actress. I kind of reject all of that. But
excuse me. Have you seen The Wedding Planner?
You know, I have. And I will say, I like her in The Cell, but I remember we talked about it when you didn't watch The Hustlers. Well,
I
did.
I
remember us talking about that, and I was very much like, I thought that the nomination was bonkers. I was just like, I didn't think she was bad in it, but I was like, what is this? Like, I just thought it was silly that this is being recognized. I digress. I just like, I've never been a fan of her in that capacity, really. But I thought it worked well in a music video because it was like, this is appropriately cheesy and bad. And it's like, I felt that she was like aware that it was bad. Because you can't, this council of signs, like there's no way she was like, oh my God, this is.
But
like,
again, that's the thing that like, it falls into this category of like, we don't know. Like I'm 50-50 split on if she's like, this is the greatest masterpiece I've ever made, or, you know, this is like the greatest troll of all time. And the fact that like it can live in that space and like it's such a hard thing to do. That's why, 10 out of 10.
I don't think she thinks it's a troll. I think that she thinks it's a body of work that's an art piece, but I think that she is also like, but it's fun and it has. It's emotional for her and the way she's deciding to tell the story and sing these songs. But it's like, but I'm going to make this and I'm going to make it something that you should have fun watching. I think that she was like, I'm going to make this feel like a big music video. And that she was successful in, I'll say. But I also want to shout out, though, that digital house that she lived in. Can I just tell you, I want
the J-Lo floors
so badly. And when she was sitting there, and it was like the moment that I wanted Sofia Vergara to like comment on it as a Cancer, because I was like, the moment that I really felt like I was like, this is something that I would love for my future, was when she was sitting on that big just like ottoman and like in that gown and just like in sort of that huge fireplace and just burning things and being dramatic at home and stuff. I was like,
oh yeah, out of her Louis Vuitton box. Yeah.
I was like, this is how I spend my evenings. And I was like, I love this.
Because after she went to like Lovers Anonymous or whatever, and then
Love Addicts Anonymous.
Love Addicts Anonymous, yeah.
Love Addicts
just
Anonymous.
Loved that. I was like, this is for me. So thank you, J-Lo. It's the first thing she's done for me in a very long time.
I have to bring up one more thing because I went to her Instagram for a second to check something and then it sparked a memory. The scene when she's doing dancing in the rain, etc. So I think J-Lo is a fascinating performer. Oh my God, I'm going to get A.O. Darebreed here where I say something about her and then someday I'll get to host SNL and she's the guest. And you know what? I would love that to happen for me. So never mind. I'm going to say the thing.
Whatever. Say what you got to say.
Yeah, things to aspire to. So I think she's a great performer. I think her vocals are not her greatest strength.
Agreed.
I do think she's a good dancer when she needs to be. And so the fact that she's in flats doing these terrible dance moves in the rain, trying to evoke like singing in the rain. I was just like,
Gene Kelly, she is not.
Gene Kelly is rolling in his fucking grave right now. Like,
that's all I kept thinking during that whole sequence. I'm like, Gene Kelly, you are not.
Right.
And you are also not flash dance. What's the.
Jennifer Beals. Yeah. But I mean, I know it's such an unfair gendered thing, but like, don't wear like shitty Payless flats in your Amazon. I know she funded this herself, so maybe she just ran out of budget at the end. But I just
like, we don't have.
She's got plenty of shoes. Let's talk about that.
I know. I was astonished. Yeah. Astonished.
Well, and on that note too, like some of the dancing was interesting in parts of it. Not that part, but in parts of it, I was really not. Someone who loves a music video, I was really not loving the cinematography and editing for a lot of it because I felt like it was so fast and cutting away from things that you didn't really get to like sit there and really see these dance routines. I'm in a world of like when I was a teenager or like preteen and like middle school and stuff, we were like watching videos and like memorizing the dance moves and trying to recreate them ourselves. And I couldn't do that here. Like I couldn't do any of this anyway, but I'm just saying I couldn't even like get
create our own council of
coherent look at what the moves were.
Yeah. You know well, especially when they were like in the heart factory or whatever.
Yeah, the steampunk
It was so fast.
Yeah.
And they were clearly like big dance moves. And I expected like those shots that are kind of like under the dancers or like around, you know what I mean? So you feel like you're part of the like whatever's going on. But it was all far away and it was all, you know. Yeah, I agree with that.
Give me a dance break and I want to be a part of it. But like I just I couldn't wrap my mind around what was happening at all with the dancing. And so that was disappointing.
But I also need everyone to know that Ben Affleck has a writing credit on this.
I'm really happy about that. That makes me really happy.
You know what? True love.
It brings me great joy.
True love. What a wild ride. speaking of wild rides, so we watched The Regime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we did.
What did we think? We are all Kate Winslet fans, yes?
Yeah, I was going to say, judging by your guys' faces, I feel like we're actually aligned. I kind of thought I'd be on an island of one of this. I effing hated it.
Oh, I thought it was terrible.
Hate it? I did not know what was going on.
I mean, I did know what was going on.
Don't get me wrong, but like,
I didn't know why we were supposed to care about what's going on.
Yeah.
I just was like, I know it was supposed to be like a caricature, maybe, but there was just like, it wasn't funny and it wasn't intriguing.
Not a single attempt at humor worked for me, and I didn't. I just was like, what do you want me to care about here? And then now it's like, I see where you're wanting to go with it by the end, but it's not that it, if it was just like a weird comical, even though I didn't find it funny, take on like a real person, maybe I could see a vision here. But like, again, this is just a fictional UK story. And I'm like,
I thought they were going to kind of make fun of, I mean, obviously they're trying to make fun of like Russian dictators or something, but like, it didn't really hit, you know, like it just didn't feel authentic enough, or I don't know, it just didn't hit the mark. Like I like the idea of like, you know, making fun of these type of governments and like what's going on and that she's afraid of mold and she's so scared, you know, like whatever, but
the challenge for me is like she starts off already so unstable. Like they don't give us any time to see how this character could have been the person who was in power. I think we don't even have a stable character to
latch on to.
Yeah, true. Very true.
Like, but, like, you know, are we supposed to care about the soldier guy who murdered all the peasants? And
I have no idea. You know? And I love that. Well,
I get
actor,
the impression
and
that
I'm very
Matthias,
sad about
he's
this.
Great.
Yeah.
I get the impression that we're supposed to be like learning that like there's obviously nuance and more to that story and like something is traumatic and like I don't know what, like we'll learn about what that is. So like I'm not like if I liked anyone, it probably was him, honestly. Like I was kind of like, okay, like, cause I'm like, okay, maybe there's something, and I do like Matthias, so I was like, maybe that's part of it. I mean,
I like him too.
Just, it was missing the mark for me. I love Andrea Riseborough, and I just thought, like, why are you here?
I found her unrecognizable for a moment. I was like, what?
Well, yeah, but that's part of the power of her, I feel. But I was like, why are you here? What are you doing? This is not even a role. This is just
apparently Hugh Grant guests in an episode at some point. Yeah. I don't know.
He's like singing. I don't have plans to be continuing. I was very thankful it was just one episode. don't make me do it.
I was surprised that they only went, since it was so bad, I was surprised they went with only one episode. I would have thought.
Well, okay, so that was the other thing. I was just like, is this going to get better? Question mark?
Maybe not. Maybe that's why they were like, let's just do a premiere.
Wow, I'm deeply upset like, this by it. Okay, so I looked up the writer. So I was like, who did this? No. Alan. Good and bad. He used to be a writer on Last Week Tonight with John Oliver, which I think is one of the most brilliant shows out there. He wrote The Menu.
What?
Yes. He wrote.
I love The Menu.
Right. He wrote 3 episodes of Succession. This is the thing that upsets me on his IMDb, is that he is in pre-production of an untitled Yorgos Lanthimos remake project. We don't need to be remaking Yorgos Lanthimos.
What the hell?
Yorgos Lanthimos does not have enough of a filmography.
Or is it Yorgos doing a remake of something, and so he's writing it? Like, is Yorgos making a remake, like doing a remake of a film?
I see what you are saying here. That might be what's happening.
Because I can't imagine. I'm like, okay. Oh, we're already remaking The Lobster. You know, it's I'm, like, the what?
I'm calming sorry, what? Down a little bit now. Yeah. Yes. Okay. Yeah. That seems.
Also, like, yeah, so this man is a master of satire.
Okay. Yorgos Lanthimos is potentially remaking.
But, oh, he's usually very. Korean. And
okay.
Somehow.
All right. Thank you for talking me off that ledge, but still, I'm very upset about the fact that
he's masterful at satire, apparently, according to what you just said. And it's like, I mean, Succession is so well done. And it's like, again, last John Oliver, it's like, and it's all funny. Like, it's funny.
Well, the menu. That's
the master of satire. And I'm just like, what? This is insane. That's.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what happened.
Now it makes me want to watch one more. I'm going to give it one more just because I feel like.
Just to.
I have to see it through
How did it miss the mark so bad?
If it is better, then they needed to have given us two to start.
Yeah.
Even though it's an only six episode. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, I'm so disappointed.
Yeah, because it just felt. I get that she's like erratic.
I feel worse about it.
Even at the benefit thing when she like goes and takes him out and slaps the shit out of him.
Yeah.
It's like. Because he did what she told him to do. I get it was not good timing, but it was just this weird thing where I was like, you want us to be like, oh, we're on edge because who knows? She's a loose cannon or something. But I'm like, I just was like, oh, she's just insufferable. Like, so I didn't get it. And it was like, oh, and now he's on the night shift. And then it was like, then he saves her. And then,
I mean, I don't know. Part of me is like, this feels like it's trying to set up to be a love story of sorts between two equally unwell people.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
You know,
too.
Who find each other's frequency.
I'm like, I'm not that into it. Like, I was like, I'm not feeling this romance.
No. Or you're not even like, it doesn't have to be like romance, but it's just like two people have found each other in the world who are both
Well, and listen,
I also think it will turn into romance, but you know.
Yeah. But listen, we talk about this a lot, but if you do it correctly, your main characters or most of the characters in the film, like, they don't even have to be likable people. They just have to be well done. And so it's like you can tell a compelling story with a bunch of pieces of shit. But so far, this has just not been compelling at all to me.
Man, I am truly shocked.
I'm really perplexed now that I know that he wrote it. I'm very...
Yeah.
Wow.
We're totally aligned on everything this week, for the most part.
For the most part, yeah. I think
we differed on J-Lo of all things.
Yeah,
very, very subtly. Yeah.
Yes.
I knew while I was watching it, I was like, "Oh my god, I'm gonna have to watch this at Matt's house before we get ready for going."
No, I don't think it's gonna make it onto that level. But
no,
but
I think it should. I think you should do like a.
If it was an artist. Well, I was like, if it was an artist that I really liked,
honestly, if the music was better, it would if the music was better,
I did not find any of it.
Because the songs aren't great.
Yeah. No.
But if you did this with like PCD, like the Pussycat Dolls, like they're out, like I would adore the entire thing and it would be on repeat over here. Yeah.
God, I might have to rewatch it again just because I don't believe what I watched. Like I truly,
You have to for science, you know?
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah. You owe it to science.
Very, very briefly, let's blitzkrieg through. We're watching what? What else did we watch this week? We watched a lot, obviously, but did anyone watch anything else that is of note?
Yeah. So I finally watched, because I think it's on Hulu or something now, I finally watched All of Us Strangers from last year, which was like one of the stragglers from last year that I hadn't seen.
Yeah.
Contrary to the fact that Paul Mescal's in it and I love him. But this movie tore me up.
Mm.
Let me tell you.
What was
it
called? Did you
watch it? All of Us Strangers. I thought it was really good, actually. But
oh no, I haven't seen it.
So let's just say
it's the gay love story.
Paul Mescal
and Hot Priest Andrew Scott.
Hot Priest, yeah. Ooh. Andrew Scott, yeah.
Oh, I do like it. But
I very much liked it. I'll say. And then I watched Problemista.
Oh, you saw it before I did. I haven't had a chance to see it yet.
Which I loved.
Excellent.
And. Yeah, those are like the two big things I saw, and I love them both. So,
oh, good to know.
Hurrah! Or huzzah!
Jackie,
did I watch anything else? I mean, I watched a lot of Ink Master,
classic.
But no, I don't think so. Not really.
Fair enough. I mean, we watched plenty that we all watched. So, Survivor came back. I'm guessing you watched that, and if not,
I did.
Great news
Survivor.
For you. Survivor came back.
I was so excited to see it, but I'm annoyed. Why do they keep casting these people that want to quit? Like, I just don't. Like, can we talk about that for a second? Because I don't get it. Like, what is happening?
It's a choice. Yeah.
It's like two seasons in a row where we have all these people that are just like, oh, it's too hard. Yeah.
Yeah, they're like, oh, I didn't sleep one night.
Starve on a fucking island for $1 million.
Yeah. Yeah. I watched, I think this was a you recommendation, I watched Upgraded.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't you already watch that, Dana?
No. I watched it. I think this is a different, yeah.
No. But there was a week before when you didn't make it, Jackie, and I thought you had said you had seen that, Dana. Maybe it was something else, because I had watched Upgraded at that point, like before. I said, oh, yeah, I watched that. But I thought maybe we were talking about something else. But
I don't know. I mean, it's the same as so many other films, so it's quite possible I was referring to a similar one. But yeah, I found the work parts of it the most stressful. It's like, right? I might have to tap out of this movie. Like the way she gets treated by her boss. Yeah, obviously it's like basically a ripoff of, what is it? Devil Wears Prada meets like with a rom-com twist, but I was, or more of a rom-com focused twist, but I was just like, stop it. Oh my God, I'm so stressed out by this.
It's funny you say that, because I wasn't stressed out by the way that she was treated, but I found the film quite stressful. And so it's funny because Jackie, who usually gets the most stressed, didn't. Or I assumed didn't. Yeah. She loved it. And I was like, yeah, I found, because it's just one of those things where it's like, oh God, you're making the worst choices. And I'm just like, I don't want to see when this comes to front, what happens. Because it's just like, this is so dreadful what you're doing. And so I was just very uneasy. I remember when I watched it. It's been a while, but yeah.
Yeah, fair enough. I did not find the guy particularly, I just thought he was meh.
Well, what was funny about it is like, it's like a rom-com, but he's kind of hardly a character until, like, I guess
is this a rom-com,
or is it actually more of like a female-focused, like, yeah.
Yeah, it's between her and his mom, really, you know?
Yeah.
So I just thought that was funny. And I liked her, I remember.
Yeah.
And her gay BFF or whatever, I liked him too.
Like, I almost wish it had been positioned as that, you know, just like a young woman story that happens to have a romance in it.
In the vein of, like, Devil Wears Prada. Like, Devil Wears Prada is not a rom-com. There is a romance in it. But it's like, you know what I mean? Like, it could have been more like that, you know?
But yeah.
In a world, I get what Jackie means. Like, in a world where, like, you know, you can hardly trust half of these movies that go straight to streaming and everything, and where rom-coms can be rough, and you get things like Anyone But You.
Yeah.
And it's just like, you know, it was certainly better than that.
Yeah, I mean,
not financially.
We're not saying that this movie is like pinnacle. It's going to be on rotation or anything. But if someone wanted to watch it, I wouldn't be opposed. You know what I mean? I'm like, yeah, sure, we can watch.
Yeah. I was like, oh, this is fine. It's fine.
It was better than I expected it to be, which is, you know,
just like the J-Lo movie. It all comes back to J-Lo. All right.
Well, always do.
They always do. Thank you both. Thank you, as per usual, to Jackie and Matt, and that is actually it for this episode. If you liked it, we would love it if you could leave us a 5-star rating, a review, or even consider subscribing.